the Guild's Gift Shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, radio for the imagination. Thank you for joining me today for a show that celebrates creating and stories and imagination, and I hope that you are ready to open up those minds and have a lot of fun today. I'm going to do something that I don't usually do. This is me playing music, and you know if you listen to the show that sometimes I have a little oopses. We're going to try something new today. I've got it on my computer because I had a download from an artist. This is Lucy Kaplansky, and I'm really excited because she's coming to Minneapolis this weekend, and I wanted you guys to know about this. This is her new album. We're going to get our fingers crossed that we can hear this. This is Everyday Street, and this is Old Friends. So I'm going to see if it can play. This is the test. This is Lucy Kaplansky with Sean Colwyn. Hopefully we can hear that. And I cannot even hear it through my computer. Folks, this drives me crazy, this electronic music thing. I can never get things to work. It shows it's playing on my iPad, or my phone, or computer. So imagine we have this beautiful song. You too can go and download that. It is on Lucy Kaplansky's website, which is lucykaplansky.com, K-A-P-L-A-N-S-K-Y. It's her new album, Everyday Street, and this is an album release show at the Cedar Cultural Center, and it is October 6th. Doors open at 7 p.m. Show is at 8 p.m. It's all ages, and here's a special bonus, because the opener, who was originally scheduled, is unable to perform, so Lucy's going to do two sets, so that's kind of an exciting thing. If you're a fan, I know I saw her last year when she came through the Arts Guild 411 Music Series, and she's just extraordinary. I had the opportunity to interview her, and it's just an absolutely fabulous, fabulous thing, and I really apologize about the music. I don't know why that didn't work, so I'll have to get a little lesson on how to do that. I didn't realize that I couldn't download it from my phone this morning. I had to do it from my computer. So once again, if you listen to the show, that's what happens on Art Zany Radio. That's why it's Art Zany. So I wanted to talk about time, because that song is about old friends, and it's about just being together for a long time, and it's a really beautiful song, and I think about time a lot. I think about how fast it zips through this universe, how what we do today builds on how our place in this world, and sometimes I can't even keep track of time, and because time just goes so fast, and I love trying to understand time and decisions. I think the best book that I ever read was Einstein's Dreams. I forgot to look up the name of the author of that. It's a fiction book, but it really explores all the different ways that time intersects with our lives. And I know one thing is I think time and imagination have a lot to do with each other. And I haven't had a lot of alone time to think about what that means, but I am really feel strongly that that's a possibility. And so I'm thinking about time, especially just even now, like open your eyes to what's out in our world. We have definitely shifted to fall. There's definitely a different feeling. And I think that my sense of time changes as the fall comes on. And it's really kind of amazing to just sit in that and experience that and know, what does that mean for you? How does that make you feel about time? How would you express that if you were to try to describe to somebody what that is? And, you know, what is the right art experience for you to try to do that? And I know if it's October, that means it's outdoor art festival time, and that is something that really I absolutely love. I love traveling the roads, going to visit the festivals, wandering through, just kind of being in nature, taking in the last bits of snow-free land and those beautiful colors, and walking through the art festivals, meeting the artists, And I'm so excited today to be able to show you what's happening with the Sogan Valley Art Fair. We have an entire crowd of people here who are going to talk to us about what there's big changes this year, but we're also going to talk a little bit about the history. So I think I'll have each of you introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about your connections to the Sogan Valley Art Fair. And we'll talk a little bit about the history and talk about the future of the Sogan Valley Art Fair. So where should we start? Dave, do you want to start?
Sure. Hi. I'm Dave Mahacek, and I'm director of ArtOrg. And we were located in Northfield for a while, but now we, I guess, ArtOrg Prime, our main building, is in downtown Cannon Falls. And we were very flattered when the folks from the Sogan Valley Art Fair asked us to think about hosting it this year, and in fact we are. So,
and that's one of the changes that we want to make sure everybody knows. If you're used to going that first weekend in October to the Sogan Valley Art Fair, you need to remember that this year it's at ArtOrg Studios, downtown Cannon Falls. Gives people some location reminders, so it's really easy to find.
Well, we're on the Little Cannon River, not the Big Cannon River, but the Little Cannon River. So if you find a river, just walk downstream. We're right next to the VFW and right kind of in back of the businesses on Mill Street. So Mill Street Tavern, the winery, Tillion Brewery, we're right up next to those folks. And there's this tiny Veterans Lane that goes between the back of our building, the Cannon Bike Trail, or the Cannon Valley Bike Trail, and then the Little Cannon River where the big rapids are. And that's actually a trout stream, too, so you can do a little fishing.
So bring your fishing pole?
Yeah, right.
Is now the season? I don't even know.
I'm not sure either.
Okay. We'll have to ask somebody.
Okay.
But you can think that might be a possibility. And if you want to get all the details, I want to give you the website, SoganValleyArtFair.com, so that folks can check that out. You also have a Facebook page.
Yeah, Facebook page would be Facebook/Sogan Valley Art Fair.
So folks can just connect with it so that you can get all of those details. But I'm excited. Let's keep going and do some introductions. Colleen.
My name is Colleen Riley. I am a local ceramic artist, actually technically from Farmington, but I call Northfield home because it's such a wonderful community. I have been involved with the Sogan Craft Fair for, I think, about 10 years now. It used to be at the Macarios Farm, and Don and Evie are dear friends of ours, and so we're really grateful to them for having hosted it for so many years, but it's actually kind of outgrown the space. So we are equally grateful that the folks from ArtOrg and the Cannon Arts Board have decided to kind of continue the tradition of this wonderful fall event that's been, how many years?
46 this year.
So we feel really lucky. We love this kind of a ritual of fall celebration, and wonderful people and a wonderful event.
Exactly. And how many years did you say that you've, because it's...
I think we hopped in the last year. It was at the Edgewood. So I think probably this is my 12th year.
Wow. How does that feel to have that every year, repeat, you know, that this is something that you're wanting to do and that you is a part of your, probably your art cycle, right? You're thinking about it.
The people who come have been very supportive, but it's also one of the things that we really love about it is just the community of artists and the community of people that we get to spend a weekend with. So a lot of art fairs, you can't say that about. A lot of art fairs are kind of grueling, grinding. You're out on hot concrete and jammed in with all these other artists. And the Sogan Valley Craft Fair has always had a very different flavor. It's I kind of joke with people that it's kind of a throwback to how art fairs used to be back in the 70s. And there's nothing corporate about it at all.
You're dating yourself.
Well, I didn't do art fairs in the 70s. My husband can attest to that.
But I didn't think you were old enough to be
not quite ready then.
But this art fair has been going for 46 years. And Dawn, let's jump in and have you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. I'll have you just swing the mic over so it's easier for you to... Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Dawn Macarios from Cannon Falls. rural Cannon Falls.
Yeah.
Outside of Cannon.
And how many years did you host the Sogan Valley Art Fair at your place?
10 years.
10 years?
I think 2007. It moved there.
And what was it? Tell me what it was like before, and how many years have you been connected to this art fair?
Before it was at the Edwood, and Peter Leach was running it. And Peter decided, the Edgewood changed hands, so we decided to have it at Welch Village, because it's a nice big space out there, and my husband and I worked there during the winter, and so it was kind of a nice transition to get it out there. And then we had it there for 2 years. Then we decided to move it back. Gary Crawford took over then, and Gary's one of the potters in the show. And we decided to move it back to the Edgewood for maybe a year or two. Can't remember. And then things were not quite as happy there. And I mean, they were happy, but we decided it changed hands. That's right. It got sold. And so then I talked with Becky Jokola, who's sitting next to me, and is a great painter. And we decided to have it at the farm, at my farm, because we could. I don't know.
And so has it.
So we thought, well, we want to keep the art fair going. And so Becky and I would host it, and whoever wanted to join us could join us. And Colleen and Gary and a few other loyal artists decided to join us, too.
And so it has been a tradition that's really grown, and that's part of the reason that it maybe is time to move from the farm.
Yeah. Last year, we think we had about 3,000 people come down our driveway.
Wow.
So not all at once, but and parking became an issue. Folks were parking on the highway, and it was just a little too scary.
Mm-hmm.
So safety became an issue, and we thought, you know, we just better move it somewhere.
And that's really exciting. And Becky, let's get listeners to hear a little bit about you. I think this is your first time on Art Zany Radio.
It is.
Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here. Well, I'm a painter. And I don't think, Dawn, you said she's a potter. She's a wonderful potter.
Exactly. We'll talk more about your art, but yeah.
And I guess this does date me, because I was at the very first craft fair.
Oh, wow.
In 1971. I was only a teenager, but
that's phenomenal.
Right. So I go way back. Peter Leach and his family, they were neighbors with my family. So we all lived, he lived in Sogan Valley. His farm and studio was there. And my parents, anyway, we were neighbors and friends. So I remember how cool it was to go down there and just the, you know, it was small, it was quaint. It was at his farm. And there were just a small group of artists, and they were just having a great time, and it was fun.
What do you remember about those early 70s shows? And
well,
I mean, how many people came and were there, you know?
It was interesting that it's really the same kind of flavor. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's been, I feel like it's been throughout the whole history of the art fair. Is that the community of artists, they always seemed, they were friends, they were positive, they were creative, they were just had a blast, it seemed like. And I guess it was at Peter's for about 15 years. Do you remember? And then it moved to the Edgewood. I think it got too large, and so he moved it to the Edgewood. And then it was really nice there. It was tucked into the maple trees and in this restaurant that was just off of 52. I wasn't there as an artist until probably 12, 13, 14 years ago. But my husband and I had maple syrup, and we sold maple syrup at the craft fair. I don't know, when it was in its early days, I would say 30 years ago.
Oh, and that is one of the things I think that comes through as someone who visits, that sense of community and just the sort of fall harvest, you know, the pumpkins, the maple right. syrup, the honey, right. There's just some of the other vendors that are there that give it a unique flavor.
Right. And then later, I remember Dawn and Abby's and our kids, we have five boys between us, and we raised Indian corn, and the kids were in charge of shucking that and selling it. And so there's a lot of really great memories of the fair over the years.
And that is 46 years. That must, does anybody know? I guess I forgot to look this up. Is there like a record of the longest running art fair in Minnesota? Or, you know, it feels like it has to be one of the first or one of the longest going.
I think Stockholm is right up there.
Oh, yes, of course.
That's Wisconsin.
And there is one.
I think we should just claim it as the longest running.
Let's do that.
I think it's. I think we're actually like 1 or 2 years older than than Stockholm.
Oh, really?
Actually, yeah. Because we went over and it was like 40-something. Anyway, right. So. Well,
what about the St. Croix? There's a ceramics festival.
Oh, that's... That's like 25
years. Oh, gosh. So let's claim it. So you have the chance to come and see. And I love how it's been, you know, its traditions have held some of those core things that make it special, but the location has changed just as it's grown. So tell us this year, Dave, about what the setup will be like. What you know, where will the artists be? What will people find, you know, and how will it feel this year?
Well, that's one of the things that was really important to us is to kind of maintain the feel as much as we could. And we think with our location, you know, right on the river, and there's actually a lot of kind of green space around our building. It's weird because we're in downtown Cannon Falls, right in the middle of downtown, but we overlook the river, and across the river there's kind of like this, almost like this forest, or you can't see any... you know, houses or anything, and then it goes down this Minnesota park, and there's spring-fed swan pond that so you could actually throw a rock and you could hit this little pond. You probably hit one of the swans.
Yeah, don't do that.
But and I actually saw somebody catch a trout right outside our back door, kind of. So it's kind of a weird combination between this green space and actually having some, you know, amenities in a very nice building. So the setup is, Artorg is right on, I guess, what the main drag. It's a highway, and it's called, I guess it's 4th Street North. But we're right next to the VFW, and as I mentioned, right in back of all the businesses on Mill Street, the Mill Street Tavern, Schoolhouse Scoop, Tillian Brewery, and then just slightly across the street on Mill Street is the winery and such, and the Dudley's Pizza is right there, too. We're right next to the VFW, so there's a little bit of parking there and stuff, so that's good. But we'll be set up partially in the back end of our building. And it's an old, it'll be interesting for people to see it because it's got these laminated wooden beams that go across. It used to be an 8-lane bowling alley, actually.
I didn't know that about that
right.
building.
I bowled at that.
You did, yeah.
In that alley.
Well, we're still looking for pictures of the bowling alley, so we haven't found any yet. But,
And is there any remnants that were there when you moved in? Wood floors, pins, anything?
Well, some of the concrete work, you could see where the ball returns were filled in, and the pin setting area was also depressed, and we filled that in with concrete a little bit to even things out. So there were a few things.
That's a cool story.
Yeah. And a lot of people remember going there as children. I've talked to many people who, this is my pinball machine, it's right in this corner. So it was pretty cool. So we took about the 30 feet of our building in the back, and we've going to have some artists in there and some kind of artist services thing. And then we have this really nice patio we put in. Glenn Schweitzer helped us out with that. We put in a interlocking paver patio there, and we're going to have some music there. We've got four musicians lined up, and we'll have some tents there and some tables. So that's kind of the back end of our... So about four or five artists will be inside the building, and then directly outside we'll have the band and some tents, some places to sit. And we'll be displaying some artworks out there too, some sculptures. But then there's two main places that the artists will be set up. One place will be directly south of our building on basically... Aardwark's parking lot, and then the second place will be at the end of the VFW parking lot, overlooking the Swan, even closer to the Swan Pond. So there's two main places, and then, so there's a little bit of there's a little bit of walking around, I think, maybe, that you had on the farm, you know, walking here and having some, you know, a very relaxed atmosphere. But it should be a lot of fun.
So folks should dress for outdoor fair weather.
Definitely.
Because that's kind of part of the fun, I think, of this time of season, being able to take out those scarves and, you know, getting sweaters on and being outside when it's a little chilly. And it looks like this weekend should be great. And we should mention it's both days, Saturday and Sunday, from 10 to 5 on Saturday and then 10 to 4 on Sunday. So you can come one day or both days or however long you'd like. It's open for the whole weekend. This is the Sogan Valley Art Fair. This is Paula Granquist, and you're listening to Art Zany Radio for the Imagination. I'm here with artists from the show as well, and Dave from Art.org. And I'd love to hear a little bit about what each of you are bringing, because I know you're all artists. In addition to being organizers, you're all the artists that are going to be showing. And, you know, Colleen, it's been a long time since we visited with you about some of the things that you'll have. You always have some wonderful new ideas brewing of, you know, ways to celebrate pottery. So tell us a little about your wares for this show.
Well, I do two different kinds of work. I have functional pottery that is mostly thrown on the wheel, and then maybe a little altering. Everything from mugs to serving bowls to vases, things like that. I do a lot of layering of colors. So my glaze colors are, there's a lot of kind of botanical themes that I kind of draw on there with wax. If you imagine like the Ukrainian egg decorating or batik or something like that, it's that kind of a technique where I'll put a layer of something down and then I'll draw with wax over the top, and then I'll put another layer over that, and then the glaze pulls away from the wax to keep the bottom layer revealed, kind of like a batik. So I've got kind of heavily decorated wares, I would say, but a lot of kind of feelings of the area around us as far as the themes that I kind of explore on my pots. And then another thing I do these garden stacks, which, if you imagine, giant beads stacked on a stick.
But they're even more, because you get to customize them.
Yes.
And I know at my kids' old school at Prairie Creek Community School, you were an artist residence.
I did a residency, and the kids helped make all the pieces, and we just had a ball.
And so there's a collection, which is just, to me, really one of the greatest things, to be able to drive up and see that.
Yeah, it's still hanging in there out at the front of the school. So people can, I actually have all the parts, and people can come and build their own stacks. So they put them in their gardens, or I have a little stand that people can put them on if they want to put them in their on their patio, or bring them indoors. Different tops, like I have birds and owls for toppers, and flowers and finials and things like that. So they can go, like, you know, some people just do about a foot tall, and some people do 4 feet tall.
I love seeing people play with the different parts and trying to, you know, if they're at your booth and do I need something round here or something flat, or am I going to build it high?
It's really fun to see what people come up with too, for combinations of things. Like, I can be surprised still after doing these for 10 years. People surprise me in combinations that work. You know, it's a lot of fun.
And that, I love that part of it. And I'm so glad to hear that that's still one of the options for people, and that'll be available at the Sogan Valley Art Fair.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. And Dawn, what have you been working on? You are also a potter, and it's going to be exciting. You've been a while. It's been also been a while since you've been on the show too.
Yeah, maybe a couple of years.
That's right. So sure. What's developing in your studio, and what are you going to be showing this weekend?
I have functional ware also. What I really like to play with is the soda firing. So you throw a mixture of baking soda in the kiln, and it glazes the outside of the pot, so it has a earthy, rustic kind of look. And then I've been putting birds on those pots, a lot of them that people kind of like. And and this year I'm putting dogs, so things that are close to my heart, dogs and birds. And I also like colors, so there's some kind of fun colors that are coming out of my pots, too.
And I would imagine you use the farm as inspiration, that you know, being able to see what's happening there influences your work.
Yes, and I have lots of ideas in my head that are trying to figure out how to make them go onto my pot. So maybe next year.
That does happen too, right?
Yeah,
and
sure.
How are you feeling this year about, you know, being in a new location? And I would imagine it's a whole different feeling at this time of year for you.
Yeah, it just seems to be transpiring. It's like it's just going to be in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It doesn't feel that much different, actually. But you'd think maybe...
Maybe we need to check in with you after.
I know. I have delayed responses like that. So it's like, yeah. I mean, my husband is really grateful that we're not having all those people come down our driveway and he doesn't have to get the yard all organized.
Rainy.
And it's, yes, yeah. He did a lot of the outside work, and my son, too, so...
It does. Well, I thank you for hosting it for that many years, because it created a lot of memories for a lot of people.
Yeah,
and
I'm
I know
glad to hear that.
To share that beautiful space and that, you know, vista that you have if you walked up to the top of the hill and looked out over the valley. And, you know, I know my kids spent many years, we went there. It's been a tradition to run up and down that hill, and to see them as they grow taller, make the hill get smaller, is kind of a fun thing for us to think about, too. And we always picked out pumpkins, so I should check with Dave. Are there going to be pumpkins this year?
Yes.
Excellent.
Oh, yes. I was by Josephson's yesterday, and Steve was out in his backyard washing each one of them, so they would be nice and clean.
Oh, there are some amazing pumpkins that were there, so. That's always a fun part of this time of year. And so I thank you for hosting that, and thank Dave for you know, building the new traditions at Art Org. It's exciting. That's the message we want to get out about the Sogan Valley Art Fair. So if you're planning to go this weekend, you just need to sort of reorient yourself to downtown Cannon Falls. I'm sure there'll be signs. Can you what color signs should folks look for?
Or there'll be some yellow, some old yellow signs, some historic signs.
Okay.
and at each, there's actually three places that you can enter the fair: up by the brewery and basically our driveway, and then you can also walk down, or there'll be a couple parking spots next to the VFW too. So, and there's some pretty good public parking lots across the street on each side. So I think there'll be a little walking, but I think it'll be good.
Yeah, excellent. And Becky, let's talk about your artwork that you're going to bring. You are a painter, and I know that one of the things I think about is you've painted, I thought there was just one, but of scenes of the Sogan Valley Art Fair has become one of the pieces that becomes iconic, I guess, for this art fair. So maybe you could describe to listeners what inspired you to paint that, and a little bit about your process in putting paint paintings together.
Yes, I'm a painter. I mostly do landscapes and nature, anything from nature. I use pastels, which look like paint. They look like oil paintings. A lot of people, I feel like they do, and the reason I love pastels, they're like basically a piece of, it's the same pigment as the oil paints and any other kind of paints, but the only it's just a binder to hold it into a stick. So it's very pure. And the colors are really vibrant, so they really capture the richness of the natural world.
Mm-hmm.
I love to paint outside. I mostly do plein air painting. That's the most fun for me. And I start most of my paintings outside, and then I'll I finish them. Sometimes I finish them outside, and sometimes I take them back and finish in the studio.
Does a picture work for you to translate?
Yeah, while I'm out there, I have to be really quick because the lighting changes so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get the composition and do the sketches, and but I'll also take photographs, and I'll kind of take photographs along all throughout the process, so that I can get the, when I get back to my studio, I can get the details. And
Tell us about the history of those the paintings that you've done of
The Sogodome.
Yeah.
Well, yes. What I was at the Edgewood restaurant for several years when it was there. It was just so beautiful. It's tucked in to the maple trees, and it was just so beautiful with all the little tents. And so I did, I think it was the last year that it was there, and I knew it was the last year, and so I made sure that I did a painting of the fair. And that's the only one that I have of that particular fair, but I've done many paintings of the Sogan Valley.
Mm.
I live just up the hill from there, so I paint all around me. So I do a lot. I've done a lot of the Sogan Valley.
Do you have a favorite season to paint?
Actually, I love winter.
That's hard to
yeah.
White. You think?
Yeah, and I don't do as much plein air in the winter. it's nice when I can paint close to my house, and then I start outside, or I'll run outside at the same time of day every day to try to catch the lighting and the colors that are there. Because when you take a photograph, it changes it. Yes, I work mostly indoor.
And I think, too, the things that surprised me, I think it was Fred Summers that taught me about what color snow is actually.
Oh, I know.
That it's not white at all.
I know. My husband always teases me because I'm walking. We're taking a walk, and I say, oh, look at that snow. There's such a, it's violet, or it's peachy colored, or whatever. And he says, it looks white to me.
It's how you know, the more time you spend looking,
right. And I think
the
more
you see.
Yeah, I love painting in the winter because of all the colors and the contrast. But I would say my next favorite is fall because of the colors.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, summer and spring are wonderful, but there's so much green. There's just a lot of green. And I love it because I can stand outside more easily, and spring is wonderful. But really, the spring and fall are fleeting seasons, and I have to make sure I catch them before they're gone.
That's right. And they're changing all the time. Mm-hmm. And that is true. It
right.
is.
Right.
Well, it's a delight to have you here. And I hope people do come and look at your paintings. You can get a preview at SoganValleyArtFair.com or the Facebook page. Or they'll have links to the artist, I think, as well. Or you can look at to see who's there. And we should talk about it. I wonder if you and Kari are going to have... Kari Ahlberg is your... wife, a spouse,
yes,
partner?
She's my wife.
Okay. I didn't know, I wasn't quite sure.
Yes, absolutely.
And she's a you know, brilliant artist as well. Is she going to be having something?
Or yeah, she's probably listening to us now. Hi, Kari.
And we're happy. We wish you were here, Kari.
Yeah, we have a few new exhibitors, of which Kari's going to be one, and that's going to be super, so you'll get a chance to see her stuff. One of the things that she worked on is kind of a really nice artwork, I guess you'd call it, and but it's in conjunction with the brewery. What it is it's a set of coasters for the special beer that Tillion Brewery is putting out. So the actual beer is going to be released tomorrow, I believe, and it's called Old Sogan 46.
That's so exciting!
Yeah. And it's a recipe from Chris Larson told me it was a recipe from the 1700s. And it includes apples, corn, and pumpkin.
Oh, I'm trying to figure that out. That sounds lovely.
Yeah, and there's a whole 217-gallon batch. And if you, for every pint that one purchases of this Old Sogan 46, they get a special coaster. And the coaster actually is a three-up. So it's actually this mascot that we've taken on for the Sogan Valley Art Fair is a fish.
I noticed the fish,
yeah,
appearing in a few of the pictures and images.
So there's a fish on these three-up coasters. They're all letterpress printed by Scott Engen up at Letterpress Workshop in Castle Rock. But there are three up. They're really cool, and you'll just have to see them. It's complicated, but it's cool.
And Kari did that?
Kari did that.
Oh,
and
fabulous.
She's doing a poster for the fair, too, and then she'll have some of her own work there as well.
How would you describe her work? I think she's waiting to hear.
Boy, it's real art.
She has really strong images and colors, and I want, but I'd love to hear a little more so our listeners can be sure and check out what she does.
Boy, it's really hard. I would go to her website, which is studiokari.com, to see her stuff. But she's years ago she had some work with the San Francisco Opera, with the New Yorker, stuff like that. So as an illustrator, she was producing some wonderful art there too. So, but she's got some new stuff that she's pretty excited about.
Well, I'm excited to see that. And Dave, have you ever exhibited? I just actually have to ask you that because I don't even know about your...
I'm an artist, but it's hard to explain.
Yeah, you're always doing something, and you're always really inventive about the ways that you approach art. And so I'd just be curious to know if you've ever had...
Well, I did get a grant to do this little steamroller printing project.
Of course.
So that's what I see as my artwork, I guess. And we actually are in the middle of an 8-event arc up to the Brainerd area, to the Kichigami Regional Library System. So we're doing 8 events up there. So we did 4 in September, and we're doing 4 later here in October. So that's kind of, we've done it over like 150 times for 11,000 kids.
It's a phenomenal experience to see steamroller art. I mean, it's like nothing you've ever seen, and it is... I think it's so rewarding that you get to get your print right there, and it's a fun, really fun event. I know we featured it before. And
let me mention another couple people. So most of the people who were there last year, but a couple I think are at the fair this year. But we also have a gentleman named Richard Cooper. He's a real great guy, great artist. He'll be exhibiting some prints, and then we have Scott West, who's a stage painter in the band Cloud Cult, actually. So he'll be...
I have heard about his work. He does some pretty amazing things.
So he'll be... Actually, he's decided to bring his easels down, and he'll be live painting for the entire show, for the entire... How many hours is that?
Oh, wow.
You know, 10 hours or what, 12 hours or whatever. So that should be a lot of fun. And I just also did want to shout out... We mentioned this fish that we got as the mascot. I wanted to mention the artist Guy Baldwin, too, because they're actually his fish that were hanging in the atrium of the Minnesota Children's Museum for about 20 years. When they did some renovations there, they freed up the fish, and we asked if we could acquire them or have them. And so a big shout-out to the Children's Museum and also Guy Baldwin for this inspiration for our mascot.
That's a great connection.
Yeah. So we'll show the mascot, too. That'll be hanging, I think, inside our building here, too. So.
And I want to mention, I saw last night that Patty Berg is coming. Is that true? She is one of my favorite hat makers in the whole world. So I want to give a big shout out to her because I go and whenever she's not in the Twin Cities often, but she is an extraordinary artist and a great hat maker. I have several of her hats in it. I think that's the thing that's fun too, is there's all a variety of art available. So it's painting and ceramics. There's folks who do
woodworking
and materials,
glass blowing.
Yeah, exactly. So it's you. And the thing about these fairs, if people maybe have not visited one, it's a great opportunity to ask questions, to visit with the artist, to learn about something. If you say, "I've always kind of wanted to try that. Wonder how that works," or artists are really receptive to that, and this is a great setting to be able to do that and to learn more and just find treasures, right? Mm-hmm. We should talk about the food and the, you mentioned the music. Tell us, because there's always a couple traditional vendors. I don't know if they're coming back. So does someone have an update on who will be having some of the, or is it, go ahead,
yeah,
Dave.
Well, we have Ruhlen Strudel House is coming.
That's the one. I couldn't remember the name of it.
Strudel is coming. So
he loves coming to this fair, too.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
He loves it.
Yeah, he's pretty excited. And then we have a Mexican restaurant from Cannon Falls that just started a few months ago, and they're going to be having some things. There's a cheese vendor. There's a honey vendor.
Yeah, Cannonbell's cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cheesemaker in Cannon Falls. Well, they make it somewhere off Cannon Falls or away from Cannon Falls, but they package and they are from Cannon Falls anyway.
Will there be vegetables?
Yeah. Wait, sometimes there's farmers that come to the...
Well, certainly there's the pumpkin wagon that's coming. And I don't know if he's bringing anything else, corn or whatever, but maybe just pumpkins, I guess. And I'm not sure about the other ones. But I want to also, big shout out to Marcy French, who's handling all the relationships with all the artists and making sure that they get... So Marcy, she just got back from a big trip to Scotland. She did a knitting trip to Scotland, which is pretty cool.
That sounds phenomenal.
She should have a...
good stories.
You should get her on the radio for an entire hour. But, nothing happens in Cannon Falls in the art scene without Marcy helping in some way. So
that's true.
Yeah.
The Cannon Arts Board.
The Cannon Arts Board, right, which has become a really powerhouse, I would say, making things happen. And so, and I think that, this is a really great transition from, it's exciting to see what's happening with the change from the farm to art.org and, hope that people want to come and celebrate that. Did we mention all the music artists? I don't know if we named the specific ones we talked about.
I think, Helen Forsyth and Dave Hagedorn, I believe. I think a couple from last year.
Tony Newis will be there, who is a longtime Cannon Falls resident, and he now is up in the Twin Cities doing lots of, I don't know how he would categorize his music, but he does a lot of different kinds of music, and he's at the Turf Club a lot, so in other venues.
Yeah, I think the music will be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I think there are four, I'm blanking on the fourth person who's coming or group that's coming, but should be nice.
Yeah. And so what else? I want to kind of just hear from you about, as I'm thinking about the seasons, and we talked a little bit about how, the season helps us to think about time, but I'm thinking about if each of you could talk about the season of your artwork, and I'm imagining how challenging it is to get ready for each of these shows, because some of you do some summer festivals as well, and you're how you balance that calendar of creating and selling and marketing, and maybe we could talk a little bit about that for other artists out there who might want to know what advice would you have if you're thinking of maybe this is something you'd like to explore. So how do you think of your season of art and the process, does it change over seasons, or is it just an ongoing cycle of making, creating, and how do you make time to think about new things and make new pieces or have time for exploration? I'm asking a lot of different questions, but you're all thinking because I can see your faces. So I'll let anyone who wants to jump in. Thank you, Colleen.
Paula asks such hard questions.
Well, I'm trying to get in the mind of an artist that, other people may not know what it takes to put on a show, what it takes to have a booth and to, be producing work that, you can do this for many different weeks at different venues.
Yeah, I think this is probably an hour-long conversation, but as I sit here, I'm looking at Becky, who taught art in the Zumbrota school system for many years and retired recently, and Dawn, who has been working full-time at other occupations, so she has to squeeze in studio time when she can get it, and then I have been a full-time artist for going on 15 years. So we have three very different kind of types of experience that we bring to our art and levels of commitment and availability to work on the art. So I can only speak for myself as a professional artist, and you talk about seasons and passing of time, and I would say I do have a couple of seasons that I have to kind of manage. I have a very intense summer season. I don't do as many art fairs as some people do art fairs every single weekend. I don't know how they do it. But my work is a little more labor-intensive, I think, than some people. My process is more labor-intensive, so I'm constantly kind of having to manage that aspect of it. And then I get a little break in August, and then back at it for the for the fall and holiday season. So direct selling is also a different thing. I feel like I had a graphic design business before I became a full-time potter, and I remember when I kind of gave that business up to move into full-time clay work, I remember saying, oh, thank goodness, no more deadlines.
Were you wrong?
I was wrong 180 degrees because I think I have more deadlines than ever.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that I always am fascinated by, that cycle of, so you have to, especially with clay too, when you're doing firings and you have to time things so that, you know, you have the kiln full and you have pieces that need to go together and that you... Yes. You know, time that so that it's ready before you have the sale, and taking pictures before you market. So
yeah, I mean, even managing, like, as a potter trying to get things to dry, you're constantly even paying attention to the humidity because you have to deal with things at certain stages. So if it's really dry, then you are having to keep an eye on things so they don't get too dry. And then on a day like today, I'm just looking at my pots and begging them to dry. So I'm going to have the heat on in the studio, probably a little warmer than I want it to be, but just so that it'll dry the air out so I can get my pieces processed and get them ready to glaze and fire next week.
Now, another element to the clay artist that has just blown my mind, because I used to be amazed at, and I still am, at the chemistry that goes in and the science behind the firings and the different glazes and those things, and I hadn't thought about the meteorological aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, even a 10% change in the humidity can make a huge difference in how things dry and yeah,
all of that randomness. That's like you can't control that. So is there a pattern to, you know, knowing I need to have this many pieces? Do you have charts? Do you?
Well, I basically kind of think of my work in terms of how many shelves in the kiln am I filling.
Okay.
So I usually try to make a little bit more. It's kind of surprising to me that I will finish loading my kiln and close it up and have not one pot sitting out on the table still, and not one pot that I could possibly still fit in the kiln. It's kind of amazing because you do, I guess, kind of think in terms of like volume and space and all that kind of stuff. And numbers, you count pots. But I have a table, I have little marks on my work table that kind of show me how many shelves I've got that I'm working on, and I usually kind of, when I'm glazing, I work on like 15 or 20 pieces at a time, and that's two or three shelves of pots. So I kind of do like three little cycles within my glazing cycle. So it's just those things that, you know, a lot of people are a lot more straightforward with their glazing process and stuff, so maybe that's a little easier for them. But I pretty much guarantee that I will be firing a kiln during the night, the very last hour.
Before a show.
Yeah, I might warn people if they come early Saturday morning, they should wear gloves when they handle my pots. They might still be hot.
That's good to hear. That is just part of the process.
And some people, like Dawn, has an amazing, I mean, a part of it I think is because she does work full time, so she has to really manage her time in a very different way. She has to be prepared much earlier with her firings and get those done and have them ready to go much sooner. So I always admire how she can be kind of on top of that. I'm kind of the polar opposite.
Yeah, Dawn or Becky, do you want to talk a little bit about your process and timing and seasons and how you you know, make that work for you as an artist? Becky, I guess you're up. Because you know, painting is different too. Or Dawn.
Well, people always ask me how many pots go into your kiln, and I don't know. Because I'm not really a numbers person. Some people really can be a potter and be a numbers person, and they'll count how many and figure it out. And I'm the same as Colleen, where I just kind of, I make them and they just seem to fit in the right way. So there must be a calculation that goes on in my head that I can't describe.
It just becomes part of the being of the work.
Yeah, and so you were talking about art, and I think it's so much a process. It's like it changes and evolves as you grow, and you have it in your life always.
How about for you, Becky, then? Because you were a teacher for a long time, and
I was. It was
teaching process, really.
Right. That and it
definitely when I taught full time, it was a lot more juggling, and I just loved painting so much that I would squeeze it in. But for me, I don't have very many fairs or sales. I mostly work to put paintings in exhibits or in galleries.
Mm-hmm.
I paint because I love to paint, and then it's nice to have a goal or a deadline. Actually, it's nice to have a deadline because I get a lot of painting done. But and it's fun to see the paintings all framed on a wall. And as far as the seasons, I think I mentioned before, I love to paint each season, and I'm seeing paintings all the time. They're in my head, and so when I can finally get to my easel, I'm happy.
And that's a good sign, right?
Right.
And I'm sure that Dave, you have deadlines too as you're approaching, because this weekend is
mostly just deadlines, not related to the seasons at all.
The Sogan Valley Art Fair is this weekend. It's Saturday from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 10 to 4. The Facebook page has more information, as well as the SoganValleyArtFair.com website. Cannon Falls is a great place to check out. In addition to the fair, there's lots of things for people to do. It'd be great for people to come and visit you this weekend.
Sure, yeah, we're expecting to have a really nice weekend. So,
well, I want to thank all of you for being here today. Our time just flew by. Thank you to Dave Mahacek, Colleen Riley, Don Makarios, and Becky Jokola for being here today.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Folks, on Art Zany Radio, I've got a couple of things I really want to mention, and so I'm going to take just a minute here to talk about. At Content Bookstore this weekend on Saturday, October 6th, at 10:30 in the morning, is a special story time with Mary Casanova. And she is the author of the new book. It has the beautiful woodcut illustrations that I didn't put the name of the book on my sheet. Hush, Hush Forest. There we go. Hush, Hush Forest is great woodcuts that capture the quiet beauty of the forest as day fades from tonight and autumn gives way to the Northwoods winter. So it's the perfect season for that. She's a celebrated author. She lives up on the border with Canada, and so it's a real big treat that she's coming down to Northfield for that event at Content on Saturday at 10:30. And I also want to mention the Carlton Picnic Operetta, something I am just, the more I learn about this, the more I'm intrigued. It's the Dr. Falstaff and the Working Wives of Lake County, a picnic operetta. It's an adaptation of Otto Nicolai's German opera, The Merry Wives of Windsor, with a bit of Minnesota history and the music of Bruce Springsteen. Imagine that. It is taking place outdoors in the Carlton's Cowling Arboretum on Sunday at 2 p.m. And it is just a really fascinating blend of music, horticulture, food, and storytelling. You have to go check out the information. Visit carlton.edu to get some more of those information. The Carlton Picnic Operetta is Sunday the 7th at 2 p.m. It just an amazing experience. An operetta in the woods, food, music, just Shakespeare, Springsteen, who could ask for more? It's going to be astounding. You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I hope you add some Art Zany to your life. And in the meantime, till next time, enjoy your imagination.